So, with that said, we are going to jump into Good Shepherd Part 2, or as some people around here say, Part 2. No, nobody says that, right? Not in South Dakota. We're in the wrong part of the... Okay, it's kind of coyote. Okay, send your smart aleck remarks. Now, but we know how to say coyote now, so we've been well-trained, well-versed in South Dakota ease. So, Good Shepherd Part 2. We started last week, obviously, Part 1, but I want to remind you before we jump into it, our Cornerstone Connect number, that's 605-215-5150. You should see it on the screen. If you have any questions about the message, or even if you're new to Cornerstone or Vermilion, you just have a question about the church, please use that as a way to connect with us. You can also use an online Connect card. We'll post that as well. If you have any prayer needs or anything you want to share with us or questions about the church, but let's take advantage of that number.
So we're going to jump in this morning with an opening question for you guys. You know, we usually start with one in our messages. And so this morning we want to ask you guys, during this time where we've been quarantined or isolated or however you want to phrase it, what is the one thing that you miss the most that you're not able to do right now or not able to have right now? Whatever that would be. What do you miss the most? So drop your answers in the comments. We'd love to see what you have to say. And just be thinking about that. What is it that you miss during this COVID time?
Yeah, so I want to get you guys thinking before we jump into this message. So I want to, since it's a short chapter, we're going to read Psalm 23 again, okay? And it's just six verses. I'm going to read it again. This week it is NIV version, but I want to read this to you, and we'll just briefly maybe review what we talked about last week and then kind of continue as we work our way through the passage over the next couple weeks. So this is Psalm 23, all right? Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So that is Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. And last week, just real quick, we discussed the goodness of our shepherd and how that really sets up the rest of this passage.
Yeah.
And we talked about the life of the sheep depends on, what did it depend on?
Well, it depends on the quality of the shepherd.
Right.
Whether you have a good shepherd or a bad shepherd is going to determine sort of the quality of life for the sheep.
Yeah, and the sheep are very dependent upon the shepherd. They're really not an independent animal. Goats are much more independent than sheep, even though we think of them as very similar creatures. They're very, very different. And so we're going to continue working through this passage this week, but we may reference back to last week. We talked about the goodness of our shepherd, because that really informs the rest of the passage.
If you missed that, that should still be on the Facebook page. You can go back and watch that message. We would encourage you to do that, because these are all going to kind of fit together and flow into one another.
Right, and you can also find a link to the video from our website under the messages tab, and so take advantage of that. And so we're going to look at this second part of really the one of the first statements that David's making here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that speaks to how the shepherd provides for us. And what does that say to you?
A lot of times, I think, especially if we learned it in that sort of language, I shall not want it. It maybe gives us this impression that all of our wants are going to be met. And I think that can be a false impression that we get from this, and then we end up disappointed because we think that it is God's job to somehow provide us with everything that we desire. But what I love about this, we talked last week about how many of us learn this verse as children, or this whole psalm, as children, our parents asked us to memorize it, and as we're trying to be good parents, we're making our boys learn scripture, and so we have been learning this with them. And in the version that the boys are memorizing, it actually says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything that I need." And there's a big difference there, I think, between getting everything that you want and getting everything that you need.
Right. The NIV says, "I lack nothing." The King James says, "I shall not want." And that was just really more of a reflection of how they talked at that time. It wasn't reflecting anything selfish. And so I think this is one of these verses, like you alluded to, the temptation is for us to make it mean what we want it to mean. And if you've been at Cornerstone, you've heard me reference our temptation to treat God like our cosmic Santa Claus, where we just, like you said, we just get what we want. But it really speaks to a deeper meaning of him providing what we need, of lacking nothing, like a couple of the versions bring out more in today's language. And it reminds me kind of Romans 8:28. And sure. I want to read that real briefly, just because maybe some of you struggle with this. Maybe some of you struggle with reading verses and then turning them inwardly. I think we all do if we're not careful. Mm-hmm. So we need to be careful when we read a verse and hope that it doesn't mean something that it really doesn't, based on our inherent selfishness that we all have and we all fight. Yeah. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love them, who have been called according to his purpose." And we could read that real quickly and make the mistake that you mentioned, that God's going to give us everything we want, but it's more about what we need and what's best for us.
Well, even when it talks about God working for good, you know, even when we say that God is good and we talk about that, so many people often wrestle with the question, like, well, how can God be good when all these bad things happen?
Right.
And I think that's where we fall into the error of interpreting scripture through our circumstances instead of interpreting our circumstances through scripture. And scripture says, period, that God is good. And so sometimes when our circumstances don't line up with that, instead of accusing God and saying, well, you know, you say you're good, but this thing that I wanted hasn't happened. And that's not to say that what you wanted was wrong. We pray rightly for people to be healed or for people to be spared from suffering. Right. And sometimes they're not, and that's hard to understand. But we can, even in the midst of those times, cling to and rely on the fact that scripture says that God is good, and that, you know, when we follow him as our shepherd, we will lack nothing.
Right. And our circumstances doesn't change that. And like today, like the virus, as with COVID-19, as things are shut down, even though some states in are trying to open back up, it has really shifted people to change their lifestyle. It's limited options of always. In Romans 8:28, and even here in Psalm 23:1, it doesn't say bad things won't happen.
Right.
In Psalm, it said, our shepherd's good, and he's going to take care of us. In Romans 8:28, it doesn't say only good things are going to happen. It says God is big enough to bring good out of no matter what happens. Okay, it's going to bring good out of that for those that love him. And so I think this speaks to a big challenge, especially in America, as we are kind of used to having our own way, which we talked a little bit about last week. It's hard to be sheep following a shepherd when we're used to being the one kind of in charge and making our own decisions. And we're not good at being content.
Sure.
Right? The American dream.
Yeah.
We want more. We want to do more. We want to achieve more. And those by themselves aren't necessarily bad, but they can become selfish, inward focused, and really turn us away from being content and what our shepherd provides for us.
Well, and I think we've talked about this a lot here before at Cornerstone, and you'll probably hear us say it 1,000 more times.
Right.
Because it's one of the deepest principles of what Jason and I believe as we approach scripture. But when we look at what the shepherd gives us, and we're going to get into that some this week, and we'll get into this particular principle even further next week.
Right.
But ultimately, what God wants to give us is himself. Because he knows that closeness to him is what is best for us. In fact, I remember reading an anecdote in a book. It's an excellent book by Francine Rivers about the life of the prophet Amos, who was a shepherd. And it's fictional. So this may not have really happened in the life of this particular Bible character, but she describes this scene where he has this one lamb who's particularly wayward, and the lamb keeps wandering off into places where he shouldn't. And so with tears in his eyes, the shepherd makes this decision to break the lamb's leg with a slingshot. And he does this because as the lamb is unable to walk, he has to be carried by the shepherd for several weeks until his leg heals. And by the time he's completely healed, this lamb has developed such an intimacy with the shepherd and such a closeness to him that he never leaves the shepherd's side. He doesn't want to. After that experience of having his leg broken and being close to the shepherd. And I think that speaks to what God wants to give us. Not that God brings bad things into our lives. Like you're saying, God can bring good out of any situation. And I think we see, especially in trials and hard times, we're not getting what we think we should. If we will allow it, it can lead us into a place of greater closeness and greater dependence on the Lord, where we receive what we actually need, which is more of his presence.
Right. We're not saying God's out breaking legs, but I think he will use anything that he can. But he does discipline us. And he says he disciplines those he considers his sons, those that he considers his children. There will be times of discipline. Now, what that looks like, that's really up to the Lord in the individual circumstances around that relationship. But he does that because he loves us, like the picture of that shepherd in the sheep, because our dependence is upon him. We talked about that last week. He's our good shepherd. We're completely and utterly dependent upon Him. And we're going to talk about that in these next couple parts mm-hmm. of these verses. But, you know, we think about, I think about the Apostle Paul when I think about being content as well.
Yeah.
Okay, because if you're out there and you think God is only going to give you good things in this world and only good things will happen to you, you're going to become very frustrated in serving the Lord pretty quickly. Because we still live in a fallen world. Okay, you're still going to get sick. That doesn't mean we don't pray for healing, because we do. There are going to be moments where we see God's kingdom power released. There's moments where we see Him break in and do the miraculous. But we also live in the world like everybody else that has fallen because of man's rebellion. And we're not going to be spared from all the consequences of that rebellion until Jesus comes back and delivers us and there's a new heavens and a new earth. That's the whole point of the story. He's going to return us. Mm-hmm. Not just to what happened at creation, and we talked about that in a recent series, but it's going to be even better than that. Yeah. And so the life of the Apostle Paul would really, I think, should speak to somebody who thinks that only good things are going to happen and getting what we want instead of what we need. And he says in a letter to a church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, okay, I want you guys to look at this. It says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I believe that. Is that Ephesians?
That's Philippians.
That's Philippians, isn't it? I totally messed that up. I'm reading it and go, no, Ephesians 11 is something else. Offices of the church. So I would edit that out for you guys because we're usually nearly perfect here at Cornerstone. But hey, we'll leave that in. And so
Philippians 4:11 through 13.
Philippians 4:11, verse 13. Have you ever been recording a message and you knew as you started a verse that you were wrong? It's really hard, but
that's okay. We'll keep going.
Let's keep going. So we think of why the Apostle Paul went through, and this man, he was persecuted, he was beaten, he experienced need, he experienced plenty in all of these things. Mm-hmm. He said, "I can be content." Because of Jesus. What he's saying is, I can be content in any situation because of my good shepherd. Mm-hmm. Because of the shepherd that I serve. Because of the Savior that I have. And so, really, and we're going to say it over and over again as we go through this. All of it goes back to the shepherd.
Yeah. When I think Paul is also talking about, you know, what I was saying earlier. Like, he knew what it was to live without Christ.
Yes.
And now he had Christ's presence through the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. As his companion and his guide. And so to Paul, and he says earlier in the same letter, if I can know Jesus, I count everything else in my life a loss. Right. Nothing else matters apart from knowing Christ. And so for Paul, that was his greatest treasure.
Yes.
And so if he had that, it didn't matter whether he was in plenty or in need, because he had the presence of his good shepherd.
Right. And that presence of the shepherd makes all the difference. It really does. And so we're going to continue in Psalm 23 here. Mm-hmm. And are you ready to go on?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's go on. Let's look at the next part of that. It says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
Yeah.
And sheep, I've learned a little bit about sheep the last couple of weeks. They don't always like to lie down. They don't always like to lie down to rest.
If you have any toddlers or young children, you may be familiar with what that's like. Someone who doesn't want to lie down and rest.
Right. And conditions really have to be just right for the sheep because they're very fearful, they're very flighty, and the presence of the shepherd really comforts them, but he makes them lie down, okay? And the shepherd's got to be diligent in finding these green pastures because in many areas of the country, they're arid, dry areas. Sheep can thrive in those conditions, but they still need
the fresh pastures. Green grass eventually, yeah.
They need to feed on green grass. Mm-hmm. They need to find a place. And so that would either require the shepherd to provide that for him, whether that's working the land or
leading them to it. Yeah, they can't find the grass on their own. I was reading that just today. You know, if you think about like a goat that's going to go out and find every little green thing and all kinds of things that aren't green to eat, the sheep can't do that. The sheep require a shepherd to lead them to green pastures because they can't find them on their own.
Yeah. And so he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, some of you may not consider this virus, or you're feeling contained in your home. You may not feel like it's green pastures, but take advantage of this time. If you've got some extra time by yourself, take advantage of it and draw near to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage you to do that.
I think in some way, I mean, we're not quite the same as toddlers, but I think a lot of right. times we have a lot of the same heart problems
right.
that small children have. And we resist, I think, rest. Sometimes we resist having to slow down. We live in a very fast-paced culture, where we're very concerned with productivity and efficiency and optimization. And so being told that we have to just remain in our homes right. and be still and be quiet and slow down, we press against that so hard because it goes against our natures. But just like a loving parent says, no, it's nap time. You've got to, you have to sleep now because I know right. it's best for you, even if you don't want to. We can look at this maybe as a time where the Lord is offering us that same kind of opportunity to slow back, to pull back from our normal fast-paced lives.
Yeah.
And find rest and contentment in Him.
Yeah. And so take advantage of this time. Mm-hmm. And so we go from lying down in green pastures to leads me beside quiet waters mm-hmm. or still waters. Mm-hmm. And it paints this picture of these green fields next to these quiet babbling mm-hmm. brooks. Mm-hmm. And but I learned something about sheep. Is they don't like fast moving water.
Okay.
Or maybe even medium water. That's why they've got to have, in order for them to not be frightened off, they need quiet waters. They need still waters. And here the shepherd goes to the trouble to find them waters mm-hmm. that they will drink from. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this about sheep, but they can actually go a while without water. Even the dew from the green pastures can mm-hmm. provide them with the moisture that they need, the hydration. But at some point, they need to drink, and they will drink a lot. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be a quiet water, still waters. Mm-hmm. And even read that potentially a shepherd would dam up part of a faster-moving stream to create a pool of water that they would drink from.
Still?
Yep. Oh. Okay, the still water. And so mm-hmm. that speaks to the goodness of our shepherd, speaks to the lengths the shepherd would go to provide what mm-hmm. we need. Remember, it says, I shall not want, I will not lack anything.
Yeah.
That he will... whether it's planting a green mm-hmm. green pasture or creating still waters for the sheep, the shepherd sure. will do that.
Yeah. When Jesus, he does the same thing for us. There's yes. lots of water imagery all throughout the Bible that
right.
The Lord provided water for the Israelites in the desert. And but then Jesus in the New Testament, I've been studying in the book of John lately, and so fresh on my mind particularly is the story of Jesus with a woman at the well in Samaria. If you're not familiar with that, it's in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. You can go and read that when we're done here. But there's a woman who has to come to the well in the heat of the day because she carries a lot of shame and baggage yes. from the decisions that she's made. And what Jesus offers to her is living water, and she's confused about that. But then he clarifies later, he's like, I'm the living water. And again, it's just Jesus offering us himself, offering us the refreshment that right. we need, the life-sustaining aspects of water. They all flow out of the character and person of Jesus Christ.
And that's what, where most of us are probably, I suspect you're not familiar with being a shepherd,
mm-hmm.
okay? Even though this is a passage, if you grew up in church, you're probably familiar with. We talked about it last week. And if you're brand new or you're even just checking out faith, I encourage you to go back and read this chapter. But as we learn about shepherds and sheep, this is a great picture of the links that our Lord will go to. And even the story with Jesus and this woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he was offering her, she couldn't comprehend. She couldn't understand.
And she couldn't obtain it on her own.
No.
She needed his help.
Very dependent. And that's mm-hmm. really, that's the point of Scripture. That's the point of the gospel, that without our good shepherd, we're not going to find these places, mm-hmm. these green pastures to feed. We're not mm-hmm. going to find these quiet waters to drink from. Mm-hmm. And this imagery really is speaking to our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with our Creator, and our utter and total dependence upon him. Mm-hmm. We talked about that in part one. If you yeah. didn't hear it or see it, go back and watch it or listen to it. We are utterly and completely dependent upon him. And this imagery is all throughout Scripture of our need for him, our dependence mm-hmm. upon him. And Jesus even speaks to this, I think, in another way in Matthew chapter 11. He's speaking in verse 28. Mm-hmm. And I think this really speaks to the part of he restores or he refreshes my soul mm-hmm. at the end of these verses we're
yeah,
talking about.
Sure.
And really that life-giving water that you mm-hmm. that you talked about. This is the same thing. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And if you don't know what that is, a yoke is really a wooden apparatus that would mm-hmm. connect two oxen or anything pulling the plow. And that's like, you're connected together. We are working together to go forward.
They're harnessed together.
Harnessed together. And in that imagery, the people reading would understand that. That's not maybe a word that we use much anymore. But take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's speaking to this rest. Mm-hmm. Like this woman you were talking about. Man, you don't have any idea what I can offer you. This water, this living water. Yeah. And he refreshes, he restores my soul.
Yeah.
And that's what he does, because he is our good shepherd.
Yeah.
He is our good shepherd.
Yeah, so that's just that full picture. You know, as you think of those first three verses of this chapter, we have the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
Yes.
He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. The version that the boys and I have been learning says he gives me new strength. And I think that's what we're all hungry for. I was talking to somebody just this week about how encouraging and uplifting the Psalms can be during this time, because they point our eyes back to the Lord and remind us just of our dependence on him and how he is the one who gives us that new strength. And, you know, we opened this morning, we talked about, you know, what is it that you're missing most or less time? And that was sort of a fun and silly question. And I'm sure there's lots of things that you folks are missing. But I would encourage you not to just gloss over that as something silly and fun, because the truth is we are all grieving a lot of things. I texted a friend just earlier this week that I feel like this whole time has just been a series of really small disappointments of a whole bunch of things that I was looking forward to that have been canceled. From, you know, trips to visits with friends to outings to places that I wanted to go that have closed down. And, but I would encourage you, as you think about those things, those wants that you have, that you would take those and surrender them to the Lord.
And
let him provide for you whatever it is that he would see fit. Because as we've seen from this passage, he does give us everything that we need. And that new strength, that restoration can come from him if we'll lay those burdens down at his feet and look to him to lead us to the green pastures and the quiet waters.
And we've got to trust him, and we can trust him.
We can.
Because listen, there's times the sheep probably don't want to lay down. They probably don't want to be led to a different pasture. Mm-hmm. They probably don't want to be led somewhere, even though the shepherd's going, I'm leading you to still waters that you need. And they can be stubborn and independent like we all can be. But we hope this was an encouragement to you this morning. I'm going to share another verse, and then we want to pray for you, pray with you. But if you're a follower of Jesus, I hope this has encouraged you this morning, that you would continue to dive in to your relationship with the Lord and draw near to him during this time, even as things are different. And take advantage of any extra time you have. And if you're not a believer this morning, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I hope maybe you've learned a little bit about who he is and the God that we serve. He loves us and he cares for us.
And hopefully it stirred up in you that thirst for that living water that he offers us. And you see the goodness and the grace that our Lord Jesus offers us. We believe that's for everyone.
Right.
And if you don't know anything about that, we encourage you to take advantage of our Connect number. We'll drop it in the comments again in case you need it. Or you can go onto our website and fill out a Connect card. We would love to share the hope that we have in Jesus with you if you don't already know him and are walking with him as your shepherd.
Yes, we'd love to do that. I want to read one last verse. This is Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. I want to read it, say just a couple quick things, and then we want to pray with you and for you. Proverbs 19, 23, and I think it speaks to much of what we talked about this morning. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Okay, as we talk about the fear of the Lord and the way it's used in Scripture, it's not being afraid of the Lord in the sense that we might initially think of it, but it speaks to a holy awe, holy respect for who he is. Yeah. And it says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. It says, then one rests content. We talked about contentment earlier. Mm-hmm. And it says, untouched by trouble. So I'm going to read it together. The fear of the Lord leads to life, then one rests content, untouched by trouble.
So is that saying that if we respect the Lord, that we're never going to have troubles in our life?
No. And this is where, if we just read this verse, I mean, we'd make a bumper sticker out of it. We would put it on our wall. We put it on our fridge, because we think that it's some holy fortune cookie or Christian rabbit's foot that we found. And we treat Scripture like that a lot. The best interpreter of Scripture is other Scripture. And if you've read enough of Scripture, okay, even the lives of the apostles, you know that we are not going to go through this life untouched by trouble. Jesus promised those closest to him that they would face trouble. Jesus himself said it. He settled this whole debate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just because you follow me doesn't mean you're going to lead a life of ease and everything's going to go your way. But it says the fear of the Lord leads to life. Okay, that's the life that we're talking about. The living mm-hmm. waters that you talked about yeah. in the story that you mentioned. This living water wells up. It gives us life, eternal life. It said one rests content. Like we can be content as we enter into that life with Christ. And it says untouched by trouble. So what does that mean if we know from other scripture mm-hmm. that we'll face times of trouble, challenging times? Mm-hmm. That means that our heart can be content. And the way I look at that, because of the presence of the Lord, because of the fear of the Lord, because of the presence of our good shepherd, even though there is trouble, we can rest content.
Yeah.
Because the presence of the shepherd, the presence of our Savior protects our heart, it protects our spirit, it protects our mind. That our heart can be untouched by trouble, even though maybe my physical body's touched by trouble. Even though circumstances around me may be touched by trouble, my heart, my spirit, my mind can be untouched by trouble because the presence of the good shepherd in our lives, living in us as his sheep, as his followers. Mm-hmm. And so that's a powerful verse, I think, if we understand it and we know it. We rest content untouched by trouble.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Be wonderful. Yeah. Trouble's out here, but trouble doesn't have to be in here.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the promise in Scripture from beginning is the promise of God's presence with God's people, the promise of the good shepherd mm-hmm. with his sheep.
We're going to get into next week even more what it looks like to walk with the Lord and how his presence is a comfort and a strength to us. And so we'll help you join us again next week. Do you want to go ahead and close us in prayer, babe?
Yeah, we're going to close in prayer. I do want to remind all of our church folk, we have a prayer gathering, our monthly prayer gathering, the first Sunday of every month, tonight at 5 o'clock.
Tonight, yeah.
That is on Zoom. Okay, we have posted a link, but you need to contact us for the password. This is just... during this time, this is just for family. If we were here at church, anybody would be welcome, but this is just for family tonight. And so contact the church info@cornerstonesd.org or use the Cornerstone Connect number, and we'll give you the password for that. So join us tonight on Zoom. We're going to pray for the four things we've been praying for the church this year. We're going to pray for you, any needs that are there. And so let's pray today. Close up this message. And guys, thanks for joining us for part two. Just join me in prayer, won't you? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that as we look at this passage, that as you help us continue to draw near to you, I pray that those that are following you, God, I just ask that you help them to develop a deeper trust and reliance in their good shepherd. That as Scripture has informed their faith, I pray that Scripture would continue to build their faith and encourage their faith. And God, that their eyes would not be focused upon their circumstances, but their eyes would firmly be focused upon you. And Lord, I pray that during this time, as Lord, maybe we're being forced to be still, we're being forced to lie down, that you would help us to grow into a greater and deeper relationship with you, a greater and deeper dependence upon you, our good shepherd. And God, continue to mold us and shape us and change us, Lord, even during this time. And Lord, if somebody's listening this morning and they don't know you, I pray this morning that they would recognize their need for a Savior. They would recognize their need for a good shepherd. And Lord, that you would just bring them to a place where they are ready to admit their need for you, and they would call out to you to forgive them and enter a relationship with you. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in hearts and minds, even those that we've not met, those that we can't see. And so, God, we pray that you continue to work in the hearts and minds of everybody that is listening, everybody that's watching, those that will listen, those that will watch. So, God, we thank you for what you're doing in Cornerstone Church. We thank you for what you're doing in Vermilion, and we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, through the lives of those that call this church home.
Yes.
God, help us all continue to, Lord, seek your kingdom and build your kingdom. And, Lord, be the sheep that you need us to be, that we'd be dependent upon you for everything, and that our reliance would be upon you first and foremost as we follow you. So, Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, bless all those listening and watching. And, God, we thank you for your word and how it challenges us and how it encourages us. And God, thank you for what you're going to bring out of this time, even with this virus. God, I believe you're drawing people closer to you, and people are finding you for the first time. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for our being good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so good to worship you this morning, to learn with you, and just share the love and hope of Jesus, our good shepherd, with somebody this week.
Mm-hmm.
Take care, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.